About 25% is what it's been in the last 10 years. It's not a very good return. I know we've been tightening up procedures on the front end, which means making sure that people have their, they're properly registered, they are insured boats. I don't know whether we fully implemented the buoy testing, because most of this is mortgage, as you mentioned. So a lot of it, I think, could be preventative.
Preventative meaning buoy tests, or preventative meaning getting deposits, or I'm not sure what we can do, and I'm just looking for suggestions, because it's concerning, because it's a much bigger number than I anticipated we have.
Yeah. If I could just offer the commissioner, I think a number of the problems have been associated with a certain class of tenant, Livermore tenants in particular, and we're seeking to do a better job on the front end screening and requiring credit checks before those patrons are allowed guest Livermore status. So I think those are some of the strategies. I mean, I don't want to class an entire group, an entire demographic, and paint with too broad a brush, but I would say, in fairness, that the numbers indicate that the issues have centered on Livermores, both with respect to some of these non-payment issues and having on occasion to seize vessels, and also with some of the attendant problems more generally at Boat Haven that we see in the daily activity reports of the security officer.
And so are we working on policies to?
Yes.
Okay, we just haven't seen them here yet.
None of these seem, I'm looking through here. So some of these are back in 2017, mid 2018. So we're just rolling them up here because we're just at this point, this is the point at which we've given up on collecting them.
Yeah, we've tried our best. We've gone through the various stages of notification and got no response.
Okay, and is there any sense in doing this in a more contemporaneous sort of style? Maybe do it semi-annually or something instead of like I said, some of these are like 2017. Roll-ups. I mean,
we could look at doing that.
Okay. I think part of the problem with our kind of sticker shock at seeing this big number is that this is like 3 years accumulation and 2 years accumulation of indebtedness. So, does that cover it?
One thing that I think made me feel a little bit better is we've seen these in the past. And in the past, there's been a couple of instances where you'd have the amount be like in the thousands instead of just in the hundreds. So luckily, we didn't see any of those. So something's been being worked on. But I just think that this rises to, what you guys are working on now, a policy that we can do to, like, enhance credit check or something to prevent this. And then after they've occurred, I'm not sure if there's anything else we can do to collect afterwards other than just send them to collection.
Well, we're looking at this point at a new collections agency. We have not been very satisfied with this agency. We don't feel like they're really giving us good service. So we've got about five different agencies we're looking at, and they're all in the Puget Sound.
Okay. All right.
So then, with that, and having been discussed a little bit, I move we approve the consent agenda.
I'll second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Okay. We have no second readings. We have no first readings. We have regular business. Jim, kick this off.
Commissioner, so I've been working with the PUD on a number of issues, and the latest concern of the PUD is trying to finish the undergrounding of all the utilities downtown. So all of the poles throughout Water Street are coming down. And part of that is going to be the development of what we call the Triangle, which is the old visitor center place That blue building is coming down in 2 weeks. That's going to be a public park. It's going to be actually quite a nice public park with a public restroom in it. Part of the electrification of that area is determined on where transformers can be placed. The PUD has identified the best place to do that is on port property. It's in the back corner of the dive shop, so if you know where the dive shop is here on Washington Street, the very, very back corner is the best location for transformers depicted on the map. It's nothing that's going to affect the port in the future should we want to develop. Matter of fact, it could be beneficial to the port if we want to develop that, those two lots. They have three-phase power right there at site. So they are asking for an easement from us to put those two transformers there. Part of the negotiations was that what is the PUD going to do for the port on top of this? And they have committed to reenact the three-phase project that they started 5 years ago, and that's to bring three-phase power to the shipyard. So as soon as they're done with this project, they are going to be bringing three-phase power to us at no cost to the shipyard, which is going to be a great boon for them.
So these green lines on this map, those are the routes of the existing primary lines. Are they going to underground all that? Is that
it? They are.
Okay.
So that's all the poles are coming down.
So is the transformer going to be underground or not?
No, it'll be totally above ground.
Like the one by the administration building?
Building, yeah. There's two of them, one three-phase, one single-phase.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And there's... And you'd like a resolution to...
Just a motion to allow me to sign the easement.
Well, but so what they're going to do for us is to do what they were already going to do for us, only this time really do it, right?
Well, as you know, Kevin Street was the manager for a long time. He left. When he left, the project died. Mm-hmm. And now he's back as the general manager of the PUD and is resurrecting that project.
So do we have any assurances that we're going to happen? Not really, huh?
As much as anything.
Okay, well, I think it needs to be done, and I can't see that it would hurt the existing dive shop, and it could help our future plans down here, so I'd go ahead and make a motion that we should offer the easement.
So you want to make a motion to recommend or to ask staff to undertake this easement?
Mm-hmm.
I'll second that.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Okay.
The next matter, commissioners, before you is a assumption of a lease that was actually purchased. The Air Museum purchased a building at the airport, Hangar M, which is a freestanding box hangar. They purchased that in 2017. From Knox Christie, and the subsequent paperwork was never done to assume the transfer. So all this does is codify that the Air Museum now is responsible for rent payments based on Mr. Christie's lease.
So all the terms and conditions stay the same?
They are, but whenever we make a change like this, we are able to take the lease to market rate. Mr. Christie was paying less than the top market rate. The Air Museum will now be paying the full market rate, which is 57 cents a foot.
Okay.
I can make a comment.
Yes, please.
Just a quick comment. The other two commissioners are aware of the Air Museum.
Donation, but I didn't know about where it was going to be situated. So, thank you.
Okay, so I guess I make a motion that we allow the PTO Museum to assume the lease at the new per foot rate.
I'll second.
All in favor?
Aye.
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 WASDOT aviation grant.
So as the commission knows, we are moving towards completion of phase two, which is final engineering and bid on the Jefferson County International Airport runway rehabilitation project. We're presently anticipating that we'll have 100% design and be out to bid by the end of May, with the expectation that we would have a contractor selected in June. But only pre-construction submittals, no field work to be completed in 19. Instead, all field work, as per the bid specifications, would occur in 2020, when the port is better positioned to meet its match obligations. This raises some issues with respect to just when to go after the WASDOT aviation match money. We've been in constant communication with Eric Johnson at WASDOT Aviation and have been advised that we would be wise to go ahead and submit an application in this grant cycle. It's a May 10 grant submittal deadline for our 5% match monies for the anticipated cost of phase three. And all in costs that we are anticipating at this point in time is $4.380 million. That's including both hard and soft costs. So 5% would be a $219,000 match grant. So 90% from the FAA, and then the balance split between the port and WASDOT Aviation. So with May 10 deadline looming, we wanted to get an authorizing resolution before you to allow staff to move forward with preparations and submittal of that grant application, so that we ensure that we avail ourselves of these monies that have been planned and programmed within the state capital improvement program. I would say that the current grant cycle at WASDOT Aviation anticipates that projects will be completed by June 30 of 2020. And that's where some of the question marks go up a little bit on this project, because to a certain extent, this is going to be weather dependent in 2020 when we actually get to the field work, the construction work. If it's a dry spring, the way we've had, at least up until this point in time, this year, next year, then we anticipate that meeting that the June 30 cutoff date would not be an issue. But just wanted you to be aware that there is at least some potential for WASDOT to partially fund this year and to encourage us to apply again next year if the project has not been completed. But wanted to make sure that we got this in the works.
I had an opportunity over the weekend to talk to an asphalt contractor, and I thought the batch plants closed in the winter, and apparently they're running all year long now. So I guess climate change is with us.
So this makes me wonder, what happened to the 100% matching that we were looking for? We were going to hear something about that.
We don't have definitive word yet.
Yeah, that's what I heard last time. So do we know when we're going to have, did they give us to say, we'll let you know by X amount of time?
I wish I had a better answer than no, we don't know. I know that, let me refer to my notes here. Again, this is up to the FAA, and the port has no role in this whatsoever at this point. So my recollection is that there were 57 projects in Washington State alone. I can find it here. The competition was really quite fierce nationwide.
So does that need to depressed airports.
Right, yeah, there apparently are. So my notes indicate that there were 2,600 requests nationwide for 11, totaling $11 billion, over $11 billion. And bear in mind that there was just somewhere north of $1 billion that was allotted to this program in the first instance. So the competition nationwide is fierce. And with that in mind, we're trying to anticipate any and every eventuality and make sure that we do not miss the opportunity to make application for these WASDA aviation match monies that have been pre-programmed.
And just so that I get it clear in my head, you know, FAA's paying 90%, we're asking for the 5%, so we only end up paying 5%, but then if this 100% grant comes through, that eliminates the need for the other, for the 5% that we just want, correct?
Correct.
Okay. And there's a 5% this year and a 5% next year, or is this 5% we're applying for now for the next year?
Again, if the FAA 100% monies came through, that would obviate the need to
right.
chase after any further grant monies.
Mm-hmm.
We would, the project would be fully funded.
Mm-hmm.
If, however, it for some reason did not come through, we want to make sure that we have our 5% application in this year, which may or may not be fully funded in the amount that we request, which is $219,000. If it's not, what Eric Johnson at WASDA has indicated, is, and particularly if the project isn't done by June 30, or doesn't look like it's going to be done by June 30 of 2020, that we may wish to make application again in 2020 to get us to the finish line.
Okay, clear to me now. All right, so I move that we adopt resolution 699-19 for airport aid grant.
I'll second.
All in favor?
Aye.
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 Okay, organizational chart update.
So commissioners, as I told you 6 months ago when I came on board, Mr. England had left, we lost our communication person. We really didn't do anything until we really reevaluated our needs. And although I concur with Mr. Berger's feelings of not having overstaffed, I think most people that know our operation right now know we're seriously understaffed. We're running at 150% right now. And one of the critical areas that's very evident from the lease with the Aero Museum that fell through the cracks is leasing is an area where we need help. And this person is not an executive level like Mr. England was. The position we're looking at as an administrator would be an administrative point of context. So we're not looking at another executive position. We're looking at somebody who's going to be a working manager to really make sure the 200 plus leases we have are managed properly. So that's what we're asking you for today. If you look at the positions we've added in the environmental position and this position, those two positions equal about what Mr. England is making. So that's the comparison. We're just looking at reallocating dollars, reallocating services so that we can be lean and mean and run that race.
Okay. Any discussion?
This is actually something that I had recommended to the previous executive director sometime before her departure. I see this as a positive thing. I'm hoping that this person will spend a lot more time with tenants and do that kind of reaching out and making sure that, you know, if there's issues that they're dealt with promptly and keep track of the leases and where they are with payments and where they are with renewals and get us on more of a regular business basis instead of kind of finding things that we see out of the corner of our eye and dealing with them on the spot. So I think it's a step forward organizationally.
As do I. So I move that we go ahead and adopt the updated verbal chart.
I second that.
All in favor?
Aye.
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 Staff comments. Sue.
Just catching up. Nothing to report.
Frank, do you have anything?
No comments.
Thank you. All right.
So what I just passed to you, commissioners, is it's a draft template for the capital project update, the quarterly update report you requested, which we would bring to you at the end of this month. We tried to make it, one sheet, so it's a one-stop shop and gives you all the information you need as far as a particular project. There's probably one sheet per project, depending on how many we're going on at a time. But starting with, the estimated cost, the criteria, whether it's going to be over the executive director's authority of $25,000 and will also require over 90 days to complete, or whether it's just another project that was required to be approved by the commission for whatever particular reason that might be. So, it includes the estimated start time, completion, and then actual and revised as updated later, the scope to include the need and priority, any permits required, and if so, are they obtained, funding sources, this could be a multiple line entry here, and whether those fundings were secured, percentage of completion, and then a progress narrative just on are we on schedule, are we on budget, are there any challenges or savings we've found along the way in the project, as well as the contractor cost to date and the internal staff cost to date.
The only issues I see with it are that the permits and funding sometimes deserves more than a checkbox. Like, we got this permit, but that permit is in abeyance, or we got this funding source has been acquired, but since this project has multiple funding sources, this other one doesn't. So maybe in the interest of minimizing deforestation, we might put a section on the back of this form for notes and at least extend a line out from some of these items to say, see reverse, mm-hmm. something like that.
Sure.
It's the only changes really I would make.
And that was exactly the change that I would thought about the funding. I had multiple items. I think that the funding sources should be listed, and there the checkbox should be secured or pending or whatever.
Which is what I intended when I wrote that note. Could be multiple, because you would just add, this funding source's name, the source, is it secured or not? Next source, is it secured or not? Mm-hmm. Is it NOI? So maybe it's not secured, but it's anticipated. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
This looks like a good project to do. That so that we can have a clear, concise one pager of what we're up to.
So would you want the names of the permits, or?
I think only if they're in jeopardy. So if there's a checkbox and it doesn't say C reverse, I assume that all the permits that are required have been secured. If there's something that says C reverse, and on the back side it should say, permits, Department of Ecology expects permit for approval on such and such a date.
Mm-hmm.
So that you can have it. You don't have to make the form a six-page form so that there's space for everything, but at least there should be space in the back to have.
We could even squeeze something in still within the one page that has under the permits, notes or details.
The way I envisioned it was, under permits required, instead of making it a checkbox, make that a heading, and then underneath permits required,
list them.
These are the permits that are required, then put a checkbox in front of each one of those.
Uh-huh.
And then you can say, okay, out of the four permits, I can see that three of those are done and one's not, or, mm-hmm. and then I can see that there's only four required instead of a dozen, you know, so that would be a clear thing, to, and then the same thing under funding.
Mm-hmm. Good. Pete, do you have any comments? Did you get a chance to look at it?
Yeah, I don't have any comments. It's hard to hear the conversation. I did look at it. I don't have any comments.
Thank you.
Briefly, the commission knows full well that the rehabilitation of the Flint Hudson Jetty is among the port's and staff's highest priorities. And we're working as expeditiously as we can to defend the marina and shore up that breakwater. We went through a qualifications-based selection process off the MRSC roster at the outset of this week, and have again selected Mott McDonald to prepare the engineering and design work that's necessary for the rehabilitation, which, as we've discussed previously, is anticipated to be in a form and character along the lines of what is there now, which is to say battered galvanized steel piles with a granite quarry spall interior and tied together with galvanized steel bracing at the top within the footprint of the existing structure, and with much of the, at least, creosote-treated fabric of the existing structure removed. We are trying to get permits and get out to bid as quickly as we can. We have a sort of a target deadline for this, for permitting to be completed around about the time that the Wooden Boat Festival wraps up, so that we would hope to be able to conduct much of the work in the late summer, early autumn, before the worst storms arrive. We're working on a contract right now after the selection process based on a form that Schmelix at Kenan Davis has provided us, which is essentially a task order contract. So we're going to do that contract to the executive director's spending authority here at the outset, with subsequent task orders under the contract coming to the commission for review and authorization.
Those are terms that are required. Could you explain what you mean by that?
A task order
contract. I can explain that if you'd like.
Sure.
Go ahead, Frank.
You want me to explain it, Eric? Or?
Yeah, go for it. Thank you.
So, we recommend it use a standard construction form, or in that agreement, once you select.
You're breaking up, Frank.
Want to mute our microphone, Sue?
Mute this one?
Yeah, our microphone.
I'm getting that one. Feedback, probably.
Okay. Just, yeah, mute it. There should be a barcode to it. Okay, got it. Go ahead, Frank.
Ready?
Yes.
How's that?
Good.
We'll see.
Can you hear me?
Yes, we can hear you.
Okay. So, what you do is you, with the consultant selected by 3980, you enter into a contract, and then the contract provides that you'll give them task orders. So task order number one might be to study something, and it'll give you a price. And then you pay for task one. Then maybe you're going to generate task two, task three, task four, task five. So it allows the port to segregate out the work on the basis of tasks, and then be bound by the, if you could also describe it as a master agreement. so that each time you come up with a new task, you don't have to do a new agreement. You just issue a task order. And what I advised the court staff was the first task order could be within the executive director's authority. But if there's subsequent task orders that exceed the executive director's authority, that has to come back to the commission for approval. And so a lot of times what happens is the first task order informs, in an engineering sense, what the second task order might be, because the engineers may look at the project and say, okay, it'll cost this much to design it, or this much to supervise the construction. So it's a sequential method of allowing the court to control the contract in a segmented basis, if that makes sense. And those are called task orders.
And so each task order...
Should unmute our microphone?
Oh.
I can't hear anybody now the other way.
Now we can't, no. And so, just so that I'm clear, these task orders can't exceed the allowance, the maximum amount that he can expend without bringing it to the commission. So are these task orders cumulative? In other words, if each one is under 25,000, then, or is it the first task order and then all the rest of them have to come to us because of, okay, got it.
I would say they're cumulative, so the first task order gets him there, and beyond that, he needs to come to the commission.
So this is kind of a long, drawn-out process of doing a contract.
It allows us to get started in an expeditious way.
I can't hear that, though.
Yeah. But that's what I'm trying to do, get this started before we have the full scope of work.
You're still muted, Sue.
Oh, so he can't hear.
Okay. I think we got to try
again.
It allows us to expeditiously initiate work and to better control the work as the project unfolds. So again, what we're anticipating in task one is preliminary engineering and design drawings that will support the permit applications that need to be submitted as quickly as possible to ensure that we have the permits in hand by late summer, early autumn of this year.
Got it. That was a totally foreign concept.
Easy, easy.
I haven't heard of it.
Yeah, okay.
Anything else, Ed?
No, thank you.
There's two things. Tomorrow is the CEO breakfast. I've been kind of hit and miss on that, but I think it's important to be there with David Timmons and Philip Morley and all the other CEOs in the area. So that's tomorrow morning. Tomorrow evening, I'm on the Boat School Curriculum Advisory Committee, so I'll be attending that tomorrow evening. So that's all I have to report.
Okay, Pete, you want to go with your commissioner comments?
Yes, just really quickly listening to comments from the audience at the beginning of the meeting. I really appreciate the comments. Thanks for your comments. I will touch base with you again when I get back tomorrow today. I just want to say to the audience, it's important to remember that it's really helpful if there are issues that need to be addressed in the meeting.
Do you want to summarize to the crowd what he just said? Because I don't think everybody heard well enough.
Basically, Pete is saying that our door is always open, my door and the three commissioners. And it would be helpful to bring those issues that were reported today with parking at Point Hudson to us before the meeting so that we don't get into a back and forth in a commission meeting, but we can have that discussion before and maybe solve some of those issues before they get to the meeting.
Yeah, commission meetings are really business meetings, and they're pretty strict and pretty formal. We take comments as a regular rule, and we make notes, but it's not a good environment to have a discussion or a debate. So the best thing to do there is, if you feel like you need to have your comment in public, then that's fine. But to really resolve the problem, you really need to go close that loop with either staff or commissioner.
And I might add, don't be bashful, because we all know that's what we're here for. So we expect people to come and talk to us.
Okay, Steve?
I didn't really have a lot of comments, but just along that last thing I was just talking about, we expect to be hearing from the public. And I just left the dentist's office this morning, and I discovered that from a comment from the person who was there that Roadie Carnivals hit another pitch again. And so even though I was there, you know, having my tooth looked at, it's fine. You know, we can hear about that, and we'll start, you know, relooking at Roadie stuff. But I think it's, like Pete was saying, it's important that we get this information, but it's easier for us to actually do something about it when we had a chance to talk to other people, go out and scope the scene and figure out, you know, things a little bit rather than just sitting here in a meeting, you know. That's all I have.
Okay. I guess this past week, there's a new organization that started up in Jefferson County called the Jefferson Broadband Action Team. I like action. It means we passed the study, hopefully. And it has a PUD, it has support, it has the city, it has the county, and it has a number of ISPs and other constituent organizations on it. So hopefully we'll get something moving with that, hopefully we can keep the wheels on that bus until that problem is resolved. That's about it for me. The next regular business meeting is Wednesday, April 24th at 5:30 p.m. We have an executive session now, and it will go for Seth. Where's Seth? Where'd Seth go? Oh.
We've scheduled 15 minutes, but we might extend it.
So for 15 or for 30?
30.
It'll be about 30 minutes, and there is expected
potential
soon after that. So we will reconvene the commission after that. Thank you all for your attendance. Port Townsend Commission is meeting is back in session. This was an executive session to discuss pending litigation, and I hear a motion.
I'll make a motion that we authorize staff to settle this case, give Jim Kornick, the executive director, the authority to settle the case. Do we need to state the case?
No, just execute the necessary documents to settle the SMA.
Okay.
Litigation.
Yeah. All right, that's what I meant. So the SMA litigation.
Okay. I second that.
All in favor? Whoop.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Okay.
Okay.
All right. Did everybody, you got all that copied and you know what
SMA.
Is Pete here? Or
no,
did he go?
He's gone.
Yeah, we still have a quorum. We
still have a quorum, so.
You know, Pete was getting C6 staying in one place, I guess. motion was brought forward by Commissioner Tucker to direct staff to settle the litigation.
Provide authority.
Pardon?
Provide authority.
Provide authority to staff to settle the litigation with the, what is it?
SMA.
SMA, the Seattle Marine Academy.
Maritime Academy.
Maritime Academy. That's all we want to say on that subject.
All right, and I'm sorry, there could be more.
Seth Goodstein.
I'm sorry?
Seth Goodstein from Goodstein Law.
I'll give you a card, how about that?
That'd be great, thank you.
So are we adjourned?
I think that's it.